You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. I'm Matt Weston, and tonight I'm joined by the sunny day to my glowing heart, my good pal Taylor. How are you doing tonight, man?
Doing all right. Man, I've been taking a break. You pulled me away from a lot of Disney Plus. I've been going crazy.
Have you been getting D'd down by Disney Plus?
I've been getting D'd down like crazy, plus a lot more. The only issue is it's so much. I'm still not even halfway. There's so many
Disney
Channel.
What do you mean halfway?
What do you mean? I have to watch everything. That's the goal of this. It's almost like Disney said, we have a challenge for you. Watch everything we've ever made. Go. Challenge accepted. That's where I'm at here.
I think you have a mental illness.
Yeah, I know. That's why I have bloodshot eyes. I look like I'm homeless.
Yeah, you look like hell.
It's because I've just been watching Disney for the past 4 days.
So, like, what have you learned from it? Like, do you have a better understanding of the zeitgeist? Do you have a better feel of reality and modern culture to this day, or postmodern culture to this day? Do you have a better feeling of like gender norms? What have you learned from getting deep down by Disney Plus?
So what I have learned from the Plus itself is a lot of Disney movies, it's half and half. You always have that first half of the Disney movie where, man, you are uplifted. You got all the great tunes going. You're excited. The second half is usually just effing depressing.
Yeah, and with a little bit of racism.
Yeah, always racism. Always racism, especially towards the end. And although I talked a lot of smack about Aladdin, that last 30 minutes, it still had to be changed. You can't do the original cartoon. Jasmine looks too dirty. Either way, Disney's second half of the movie is the only one I'll actually say Aladdin holds up for the second half.
Okay.
I don't know another Disney movie that will hold up for a second half. I won't even give it to Lion
Aristocats.
King. No.
You have the big piano scene. Then they have the big scene against the butler. They throw him in the trunk and send him to Timbuktu and gets kicked by a horse.
I feel like you're a little bit biased because this is your favorite.
That's
and you have like a little bit of a crush on the mom.
Well, also... No, not the mom. The cat. It's the cat.
No, I know. The mother cat.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about like, the old mom. Or
no,
something.
No.
Yeah, the mother cat's pretty hot.
Yes. Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah. But.
Do you see yourself as Thomas O'Malley?
Not at all.
Not at all?
I'm not that cool. Okay. I was like 6. I'm like, damn, I wish I was cool one day.
And you're not a redhead.
Cool. No, but I like Fox and the Hound the most. But I can't watch it.
So if they ever make a real life Fox and the Hound, what would you do?
I wouldn't go see it.
If they make a real-life Fox and the Hound and release it on Valentine's Day, they would make $1 billion.
Maybe.
Dude, it'll be sold out everywhere.
I wouldn't go see it, though.
What's
I don't like that live-action stuff.
I don't know. I haven't seen the Lady of Tramp one on there. Apparently, it's good.
But it looks creepy.
I'm not a Lady in the Tramp fan.
Yeah.
You a Tramp fan?
Mm. Nah. I think the best part of that movie is that like weird circus in that movie. Like, where did this come from?
It's out of left field. God, and Lee.
Yeah.
God.
So, good stuff. Do you want to rescind that statement at all?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Why would I? Do you have some? Are you defending her right now?
I don't know. I don't like that word. So, football last week. I think this is another good time to bring up that if you think Jadeveon Clowney is bad, you're a big, giant box score sniffer.
Oh,
watch the
God.
Tape.
All
watch
right.
The game.
Here
How about
go.
You have an opinion about something you know something about.
Yep, get it out.
And so I'm very glad that he finally had that big box score game against a good San Francisco defensive line. I'm glad for Clowney. You know what I hope happens? The Texans have $72 million in cap space. I think it's going to be $85 million next year. And I think they have like 30 right now, but they're going to have 85 next season. I just want them to just sign Jadeveon Clowney.
Do you
like,
really
that's
want
all
that?
I want. Yeah, I want them to... trade J.J. Watt and then sign Clowney.
By the way, that's the poll. should they take the money they will have next year and just sign Jadeveon Clowney?
They should.
That's what the poll should be.
They should.
Put it on the poll.
All right. I'll remember it. And I won't forget in the next hour. So
you always forget in the next hour. You never take down my polls.
You know, so like while you were watching Disney Plus, I was just eating soup all week. I ate soup. I ate so much soup this week because it was awful weather. And I told myself, I'm like, I'm not going to let myself get all down by the weather this time. So I'm going to stay strong. I'm going to be an adult, grown man. 2 days of them, like, I've got a physical. That doctor asked me some questions about depression. And they're like, do you ever, like, want to die? I'm like, yeah, a little bit.
What the hell? What?
And I'm like, but, like, it's just because the weather's bad. And they're like, yeah, they're kind of laughing about it.
Did he tell you to make you feel better that you should reenact a Campbell's soup commercial and that's how you felt better?
Why do you think my doctor's a man? I have a woman doctor. Okay. And
You know what? Not surprised. It's 2019.
There's another question. It's like, do you ever hate yourself? It's like, kind of right now. I feel terrible. But so I'm trying not to let the weather destroy me. And it took 2 days for it to happen this year. But I ate a bunch of soup. So what's your favorite soup is what I'm trying to get at here.
It'd be chicken noodle.
Okay. Would you consider gumbo a soup? Or is that a dish?
No, I'd call that a dish.
Okay.
Easily. And it's because, yeah. No, it's a complete dish. You would have like seafood in that, things like that.
Like sausage.
Yeah.
Rice.
Even though, well, you got the, what's the Donovan McNabb one? The Campbell's Chunky Noodle.
Or they probably make a gumbo, a terrible gumbo.
They do make a gumbo. I used to eat that with tortillas, by the way. It's terrible. I'll still eat it till this day.
Yeah, it's bad. Hey. I can't wait to get divorced one day and just wear big dog clothing and eat chunky beef soup.
Well, you would go to a grocery store whenever you were back in college. Do I buy food or do I get the Lone Star six-pack tall boys and the chunky soup
and
tortillas?
And $1 tortillas.
Guess what? The tortillas and the soup won a lot.
It reminds me of one time I was at the beach and this guy got 3 cans of hominy beans.
What?
And like 6 high gravities. And that was all
he
had in his life.
That's disgusting.
And it's like a sour to him. Like, this is what this guy's going to do all day. Just eat a can of hominy beans from the can and drink 4 high gravities.
Was that your hero?
No, but it's like, it was Corpus Christi. So it's like, this is beach life, I guess.
Rock on.
Yeah. That's like Jameis Winston right there. Just eating hominy beans and 4 high gravities before every game.
You can't wait to go to Tampa.
That's true. Also, the one thing I really care about is that, so he's thrown 16 interceptions. He's leading the league right now. Baker didn't throw an interception last week. He's at 14. And also, Winston's leading the league in sacks taken, too. The last player to lead the league in both interceptions and sacks taken is Blake Bortles in 2017. Maybe it was 2016. But regardless, I'm hoping Winston does it, and I hope he throws like 35 touchdown passes, too. And they're like, what do we do with this guy?
No. You get rid of that guy. That's what you do with
Winston.
I think
they're going to franchise tag him.
By the way, he's going to be sitting on the couch with Myles Garrett pretty soon.
No, he's not going to get suspended. Also, they do play the New Orleans Saints at home this weekend. Drew Brees as a quarterback, 2-2. Teddy Bridgewater, 5-0.
I told you.
You don't need to tell me.
I told you.
We told each other. We had a conversation.
Oh, wait, that's right. I kept asking you, and all you kept saying was the franchise quarterback, Teddy Brown.
Franchise quarterback. That's what they get. He was like 2 for 12 on 3rd and 4th down that game. Like, I'm just like watching him check the ball down 3rd and 12. I'm like, he's a coward. Get him out of here. Get him out of here, bro.
Whoa.
Get him out of there. But I think I watched
he goes for the big play, though. That's just always what I seem like from New Orleans.
He's just checking down 3rd and 12.
But I'm talking about before that. I'm talking about like the first and the second downs with him. He's always looking downfield. He's always wanting that big throw where Teddy B is always just like, oh, here's a little 5-yarder.
And he can also deal with pressure.
Hey, here's a 5-yarder.
I mean, the truth is what happened is that their center's hurt and Will Clapp was starting and he was horrendous and they couldn't block Grady Jarrett. Like, that's really what happened that game, but...
Okay, so now you can't go back on this.
Really, what
Hold
happened,
on, stand
though.
On your point. You just threw in a caveat.
I mean, like, as a football analyst goes.
I take back. See, nope, I'm not going along
happened.
With your point
but
now.
But the main point here is that Teddy Bridgewater, 5-0 as a quarterback, that's the only stat that matters.
No, he would be losing if he didn't have a center now. I just turned around the argument. I don't want to do this.
Again, Bridgewater can play with pressure. Brees can't. So if Bridgewater played, they would have scored 28 points on easily because he can handle that.
So
He's
he
youthful.
Could handle it without the center?
Yeah.
All right, we're going
to. Breeze can't.
All right, hopefully we can prove this.
All right. So we have a lot of good games this week. We have Buffalo at Miami, Josh Allen redemption story. New Orleans at Tampa, as mentioned. Houston at Baltimore. Denver at Minnesota, and I haven't watched Denver in a while, but they're not starting Locke, but they're like 6th-round rookie quarterback, which is fun. So I think we'll watch Denver tomorrow afternoon and see what's going on there. New York at Jets at Washington. Awful.
Can't wait. By the way, would you bet on that game?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, so what's the over? Did you ever look that up by then?
No idea what it is. What would you think
that game would be? Just top of your head. Three points?
The line, Washington's at home, so I'd say like...
Three.
Is Haskins starting?
Yeah, Haskins is still starting.
I think it'd be like a point and a half, maybe two.
All right, so let's say it's Pick'em. Who are you going with?
I don't know enough.
Oh,
that's the point.
Come on.
Like, the point is, like, if we were going to Vegas to gamble, for example, I would do all the research I could on this game and put like $300 on it.
I would not bet on this game at all.
Like, we're doing it. Because that's the kind of fun thing about it is, like, if you know enough about the bad teams, you can make some money there. Or I just, like, got lucky once by winning, like, $300 at Arizona Cardinals last year. Jacksonville at Indy, Atlanta at Carolina, Dallas at Detroit, Arizona at San Francisco, Cincinnati at Oakland, New England at Philadelphia, Chicago at Los Angeles, a losers leaves town match. Like, your contract gets rescinded. You get sent to,
so,
like,
amazing.
I don't know.
They hang the contracts, or they sign the contracts in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
That'd be so awesome.
That'd be great.
They hand the pink slips over to the
ref.
You
get sent to the XFL. You get replaced by the Houston Renegades or whatever.
Yeah, it'd be so awesome.
And that's Sunday Night Football.
By the way, what would ratings be like?
Oh, the franchise gets folded?
Could you imagine what ratings would be?
It'd be very hurtful.
It would be. It would be your entire city. Entire state would be watching.
Yeah. You know, Al, I don't like this idea. This is pretty mean, Al.
Pretty awful.
I'm not really liking this very much. And then you hate for what's going on for both these fan bases right now, Al. And then Kansas City at the Chargers, Monday Night Football. So last week with the picks, I went 2-2. You went 2-2. We're both 16-18. It's been some rough waters, but it was good to at least go 500 last week.
What are you talking about, man? I'm winning.
Also, I get a bonus point, though.
What?
I picked Seattle 27-24, and that was the exact score of the game.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You told me that I can't write down in my diary anymore and whenever you're wrong or whenever I'm right.
No, you can.
So, what?
I didn't say you can't stop doing that. I'm saying that's what you do.
You said that you don't do that, though.
I don't do that for you.
Okay. What do you? So you just do it for yourself?
No.
Dude,
I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
I hate you so much.
I still can't believe
you said I can't do that. Yeah. You said points mean nothing. Who cares? That every, what did you say, blind squirrel gets a nut? Is that what you said to me? You said get a nut? Is that what you said?
Yeah. I don't know. So the games we're talking about today are Houston at Baltimore, Jacksonville at Indianapolis, Dallas at Detroit, and then New England at Philadelphia. So the Baltimore Ravens, they're 4-point favorites. The Ravens run offense, one of my favorite things I've ever watched in my entire life. Like, in the history of anything I've ever watched or consumed, as far as entertainment goes, like, they do things where they run, like, every play's a replay, but they don't just, like, run zone read like they did with, you know, Kaepernick, whatever, Greg Roman was the offensive coordinator, but they run counter read, they run lead read, they run duo read, and it's absurd. Like, they're stretching the fabrics of reality as far as they can as possible. And, like, I think time is going to completely, like, fold in on itself because of what the Ravens are doing on their offense.
All right, so I came into the season hating on them so much, thinking that it was just a one-trick pony, thinking that they couldn't do it. However, Lamar Jackson's just in love with the tight ends. They have everything going for them on the run. It's just working so well.
So
do you see it slowing down?
No, because they ran the same, you know, replay, but they ran it three different ways against Pittsburgh, and then they ran differently against New England, and then they ran differently, I don't know, against that other team I wrote about.
Against Cincinnati?
Anymore. Against Seattle.
Oh.
No, Cincinnati was a lot more like play action, pick and pop passing. Well, it wasn't as much running.
And it was also defense, just scoring, and now they're the leading defense in scoring.
Yeah, I got like 40 fantasy points from last week.
Oh, thank God. I'm glad we're talking about your fantasy team.
You know the problem with Ryan Lindley is it sounds way too much like Ryan Finley, that one quarterback from Arizona like 4 years ago. He was completely awful.
Yeah, the other problem is you got Boyle and Doyle.
Boyle's my favorite tight end.
How do you got Boyles and Doyles?
What's about that same? But their run offense, 5.5 yards a carry, which is first. A rush offense, DVOA of 20.3%, which is first. Last year, we talked about how Los Angeles has an all-time great run offense. They're at 21.3%. Now, I was trying to go back and see if there was anything greater. Seattle, 2014, they were at 29%, which I didn't know. I thought they never reached that height.
Huh. Okay.
Interesting stuff. So the problem, though, kind of like offensively, the Texans do match up well against this team in some ways. The best run defense the Ravens have played was Pittsburgh. They're like the 10th best run defense. The Ravens have 40 carries for 138 yards, a DVOA 2.8%. So like, it was a fine rushing attack. It just wasn't like otherworldly. One of the things that the Steelers did well was they flooded gaps pretty well. They did a lot of like blitzing cornerbacks. They brought the safety over and flipped some things. And also like TJ Watt and Dupree are fast on the edge, and they could chase down Jackson a little bit. And they weren't great at it, but they did a little bit in that one. So the Texans are 6th in run defense DVOA. They're allowing 4.1 yards a carry. Last year they had an all-time great run defense. The run defense is still really good this year. And this is the best run defense that the Ravens are going to have played this season. So do you think Houston can stop them, can hold them down, can like do anything at all against this Ravens rushing offense?
All right, so it's going to be whoever has the most points wins the game. No, actually, in all seriousness, I think whoever scores the first touchdown, it's really going to come down to that.
So it's a dog race.
Yeah, and it's because they've done it now 6 times, I believe, on their opening possessions for the Baltimore Ravens.
6 times, league leading.
Yeah, so I think that if somehow the Texans and Deshaun Watson can get the ball first, and if they can get right off the bat, march right down the field, score 7 points, and then Lamar Jackson all of a sudden has to play from behind, I just think then you're forcing them into situations where even though they may in their back of their mind still going to be like, oh, this doesn't matter, still going to run your game plan, still going to run the ball, it'll still affect them though. You'll still at least put a little bit more pressure on them versus if they get the ball, they immediately score. Now you're playing from behind.
Yeah. See, I thought that too, and that looks at the numbers. The Ravens' offense is just really good all the time. Because I was thinking about the Kansas City game, because Kansas City threw the ball well on them. They got a lead, and then they forced Jackson to throw more and that sort of thing. But they still like almost won that game. It was close. And
almost isn't winning.
I know, but I'm saying like, Their offense has still been good in every situation. And the Cleveland game, you know, Nick Chubb wrote those, you know, 2 big runs, and that opened that game open for them later in the game, in the fourth quarter or whatever. And so, like, that's what I thought, too. I'm looking at the numbers, and, like, I guess it's just really good all the time. So you're talking about the Texans, their last 3 games. When they played Jacksonville, the score was 9-3 at the half. When they played Oakland, it was 10-14 at the half. When they played Indy, it was 9-14 at the half. This is a slow-starting team. It takes Bill O'Brien like 32 minutes to be like, oh, wait, the Raiders can't cover DeAndre Hopkins.
No, and you can't do that at all.
Wait, the Colts can't stop the deep pass because they have no safeties. Oh, Kenny Stills can just run the ball, run these deep posts and be wide open. And so like that's like I think this is as bad a matchup as the Ravens defense can face. The other thing Texans do really well is they cover tight ends well. They're third in defense DVOA against the tight ends. They allow 43 yards a game against them. Deshaun Gibson's back too. And they do a good job covering them. They did a good job against Jackson last week. They did a good job against Darren Waller the week before that. Justin Reed covered Waller pretty much 1-on-1. That game worked out very well too. And so like, this is like a bad matchup for the Ravens in a way. The biggest concern I have though is that Jackson's a really great quick passer, a really great short passer. And they pass block really well. Texans will get a pass rush. And so it gives Jackson plenty of time to, you know, manipulate guys with his eyes and then turn back and make the backside read and those sorts of things. And so I think that's where if the Ravens are going to have a really great offensive attack. I don't think it's going to be as much in the run game except for maybe more in the edges. But I think it's going to be a lot more their quick passing attack, though.
I think, but even with their quick passing attack, is it really?
It's really good.
Well, I get it, but it's always to like tight ends, and then it's to Hollywood Brown. That's their entire strategy. We're either going to run the option, it's going to tight ends, Hollywood Brown. That's it. You would think it's easy, but yet they have 4 tight ends here.
3.
Okay, well, it seems
like.
Which
one's your favorite? They got Hayden Hurst. They got Boyle.
No.
And they got Mark Andrews.
Andrews.
Andrews is a glory boy, though. He doesn't block all that much. All he does is catch downfield.
Have you seen the hair?
No, he doesn't have the hair. Hurst has the hair.
Oh, wait.
And then.
No, I'm going to say Andrews still.
Doyle is shaved. Andrews has short black hair. Andrews is the guy who gets all the deep play action passes.
I know Boyles is shaved. So Hurst has the hair, though.
Yeah.
Oh, this is complicated.
Yeah.
But I still feel like that Andrews is the better guy all around.
He's the best pass catcher.
Yeah. So either way, that's really the main weapon. Really well. And Hollywood Brown somehow always gets open for one big pass play.
Well,
I don't understand.
And they
this.
Do a really good job like running picks with Andrews and Brown, but they're like picks that take 3 seconds to happen, which is kind of fair. And they also like to run like jet sweeps to Brown too. I think Jackson will hit Brown at least once this game for a deep pass. I'm not saying it's going to be a 70-yard touchdown, but it's going to be like a 30-plus yard completion through the air.
Yeah,
he'll get at least one.
I think you have to at least be able to just force him to throw the ball the entire time. And if somehow you can make him do that, then your guys have a real good shot. It's just
the Texans' secondary is bad, though.
I know.
And they have no pass rush.
And
Jackson's really good.
And for how many weapons they have, and just even with last week, even though it's Cincinnati, the way he's running, that spin move that he had on that 47-yard touchdown run.
It was hilarious.
But it was dumb. It was a video game. Could you imagine if it's Lamar Jackson, Tyreek Hill on the same team? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of have that with Brown in some ways. I mean, it's not the same, of course.
Matt.
But like next year, I think they're just going to draft in their speed guy.
Oh, yeah, easily.
But that first drive they had against Cincinnati was wild. It was deep pass to Brown. Then they ran a play action pass to Andrews to put him at the 6-yard line. And they ran zone read they didn't score on, but they scored 3 plays later. But it's like, yeah, 2 deep passes. Okay, now they're up by 7. And the Bengals linebackers are really bad. And the other thing that makes their rushing offense really good, too, is that they don't even have to run the read stuff and it'd be really good. Because they have a great offensive line. Yeah. They move the first level well. They block the second level really well. I have concerns with Merciless and Scarlett on the edge being able to keep up with Jackson as well, too. As a runner, they're like good, solid defensive players, but they don't make explosive plays. They don't get a lot of penetration in their defensive line. And they don't they're not pure athletes. The only guy that can really run with Jackson is Jacob Martin, but he doesn't play against the run at all. He's like a third down pass rusher, and he has like one pass rush move, maybe. He usually just runs all around the line of scrimmage against a sack like a video game. It's like NFL Fever 2004 sort of thing.
You know what I would do? I would just look, if I'm Deshaun Watson, wherever Peters is lined up, if it's against Hopkins, I would just throw the ball as hard as I can at Hopkins each and every single play. Because all Peters is going to do is just try to dive and get an interception. He may get one or two off of you. But
all you need usually, though.
No, yeah. Because the other 4 or 5 are going to be for touchdowns.
Maybe, but you
still maybe. You always get a jump for it. There's
still safeties and stuff.
No.
And this other weird thing.
He always jumps for it. It's the greatest thing ever.
Do you think he gets tired of interceptions?
No, how could you ever? I would just get tired of a quarterback, especially if I know where he is lined up on. I'm just going to try to just throw it like as hard as I can just because he's going to go for it each and every single
time. Well, the other thing about the Ravens defense, too, is that Jimmy Smith is back, and he's awesome. He's like 32 also, and he's still great.
Makes sense.
And then Marlon Humphrey's number 44. I've never seen a cornerback with the number 40s. And I was like, oh, they have a linebacker named Humphrey? It's just the same guy every time. But they have no pass rush, though. It's all coverage. Earl Thomas is like, they just do a lot of different things. They run a lot of match coverages. They can play man if they need to. They can play cover one robber. They can play single deep because of Thomas. And they're just able to do so many different coverages. And they blitz a lot too now. And they're able to create some pressure against Brady. And like Brady can't move in the pocket. He actually moved in the pocket once, which is kind of cute. But Baltimore is blitzing a lot more now as well. And that's been the problem with Texans offensive line. It's not blocking the one-on-one matchups. It's blitz protection because those guys haven't played a ton of time together too. So I don't know. I think it's going to be like a high-scoring game. I think it's going to be fun. The Ravens haven't been all that great defending the short pass, and their linebackers are kind of bad. But it's not like playing Oakland. It's not like playing Jackson. Like, this is still a smart defense. They're still intelligent. They still know what they're doing. They're not going to be flummoxed by, a jet sweep motion like, Oakland had been, or like Miles Jack was in that Jacksonville game, or that Calitro guy they're having to start because their two linebackers were hurt against Jacksonville too. It's weird. It's just weird because this is the toughest defensive matchup the Ravens have had, and people have asked me after I wrote that article about their run offense, like, how do you stop it? What should Houston do? I go, I don't know. I have no clue. It's like,
if you watch anything, you just...
They're going to think of something
else,
because every week they have something else that works incredibly well.
But that's why they're the better team no matter what, and that's what the issue is. Because you even said it yourself at the very beginning of this. Bill O'Brien's just going to think of something, and it's going to be too late towards the game. It's what my coaching staff has an issue with. And it's what any other coaching staff would have an issue with besides all the geniuses out there, which is probably three of them. And McVay is even questionable now. However, you can't outsmart this. It's Harbaugh's just going to adjust. Harbaugh already has a game strategy going into
it. Well, I don't even know how much he adjusts. I think he just has good coaches around him, and he just manages things. But like, I think he's like, he's not.
How does it change, though? It's like, how does it keep changing? It's never staying the same. Just well, like they I mean, do things, well, like, the same play differently three different times.
They have Greg Roman as their offensive coordinator, and he was the offensive coordinator with San Francisco with Kaepernick. He was that in Buffalo with Tyrod Taylor.
I don't remember it being like this for Kaepernick.
They no, like Jackson's already had through I guess these 9 weeks, he's a better rushing quarterback than Kaepernick's ever been one of his seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, but that was also he's learned over the course of 5 years, you know, and like he's gotten better at his job. I think the biggest thing that Harbaugh has done though, he's done a really great job having coaches around him. Like he went from
So you give no Harbaugh credit here?
No, I think he's a great manager.
Dude, you're
I think he's a great,
Harbaugh.
No, I'm not.
Dude, it sounds
I'm not,
like some
I'm
hate
just not
over
saying
there.
He's like some football genius.
I'm
coming
saying he's
up.
A football genius.
He's not designed this offense. Roman has. And that's what we talked about this summer whenever we did the previous. Like I just love Roman coaching Jackson. And like Harbaugh doesn't come up with this offensive game plan.
Oh, but they did it together.
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh,
but this is the same offense Roman has been running for 5 years, just better and better and
you
better.
Know, you know
and
what?
This
man?
Is like
I don't like your Harbaugh hate over there. I don't like
it's
it.
It's not hate. He's like a great manager. He's a great leader.
This is the good Harbaugh and you're spitting on him.
No, I'm not spitting
I'm not
on
talking
him.
About evil
I'm just
Harbaugh.
Not saying he's a football genius coming up with this offense because he isn't.
I'm calling him football genius.
That's fine. Gary Kubiak turned Joe Flacco into an above-average quarterback 1 year.
Well, wait, but
and
I
then
don't
went
think
to
that Gary Kubiak is a bad coach,
no,
nor do I not think he's a genius.
All I'm saying is that like he's had a bunch of offensive coordinators come through there, and he's hired the correct guys, and they've done a good job because of that.
You know what? I don't like your attitude.
Yeah, it was fine. All right, so the Ravens are 4-point favorites. They're at home. So what's your pick for this game?
All right, so I've been on the Texans bandwagon all season long. I'm their biggest supporter on this podcast.
That's true. Can't argue that.
I can't do it this week, man. And I'm pretty ugly. I got Ravens 38. I had the Texans 25.
Whew.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got nothing, man. I'm trying to think of another way.
The weird thing about this game is the Ravens' run defense has been bad. But the Texans run offense is like 10th. But it's weird because it's like...
It's hit and miss.
It's because their passing game opens up their running game. And my only problem with picking against the Texans is that Deshaun Watson's just unbelievable. And I feel like I really underrated him coming into the season. And all that sort of thing. But the Ravens have played big games. They've won plenty of big games. They're going to have the better coach. They're going to be at home. Their offense is the best offense in football right now. And their pass defense is good. And, like, I'm not too concerned. Like, Houston's run offense is just weird. Like, it's efficient, but it's efficient in a strange way where they throw to run. So I have Baltimore 30-26, and even though it's a 4-point line, I'm going to, you know, I'm sticking to Baltimore. I'm going with Baltimore at that.
Ooh. Yeah. No faith. You're the worst fan ever.
I'm not a fan, dude.
God, I hate that I'm doing this, son. I hate that I have such a blowout, but I truly have... Because what I feel like is that it will be a close game. Don't get me wrong. It'll be like that 25-31 type nonsense.
And then Marcus Beer pick six.
Yeah. Or
Carlos Hyde fumbles, return for a touchdown.
Or not even that. More like a stop, and then Houston needs to make a stop, and then Baltimore gets a breakaway run, and it's a Lamar Jackson spin for a touchdown.
Yeah.
It's a 47-yard run again.
Yeah.
Like, that's just where I could just see, and then the game's over, and that's it.
I don't know. I mean, even like the New England game, that defensive touchdown, but they had two fumbles that gave New England two red zone possessions that brought them back into that game, too. Like they dominated that entire game as well. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a very fun time. It sucks that it's not a 3 o'clock game, though. Romo should be announcing this game.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I think he's announcing the Patriots game instead. The next game we have here, Jacksonville's going to Indianapolis. The Colts are 2.5-point favorites. Jacoby Brissett's back. Poor Colts fans. They had to deal with watching Brian Hoyer for a game and a half. Yeah. I feel so bad for you.
At least he was bombing it downfield, right?
It was embarrassing.
Hey.
It was funny because the Colts offensive line wasn't ready to play that game against Miami. They didn't run the ball well at all. And they fell down by 10. And Frank Schroeder's like, we got to pass the ball. It's like, no, you don't.
It's never a good
idea.
You
never need to, Hoyer. The best part, though, was they're down 10-0 at the half, and they booed him off the field. So, oh, I wonder where I've seen this before. I wonder where, I'm not going to name when. Oh, yeah, whenever they boot Andrew Luck off the field, they bounce to retire. So there we go. The Colts are the worst. Only two teams I hate, New England because I'm tired of them, and the Colts. But I don't hate the players in the Colts. I just hate everything else about the Colts.
Yeah, you have some type of weird hatred for it. But also, kind of getting back to the point here, the Colts seem like they're fading for me. I don't know. I got so much of a fade vibe coming over here where I just don't think they're going to be able to sustain it. And I also, spoiler, I have like a little switcher of Tennessee and Indianapolis of who I think is going to be.
Folks.
Hey, I'm just going to say who's going to take off and who's just going to dip down the standings.
So the AFC South is crazy right now.
It is.
It's wild.
It is.
Houston 6-3. Indianapolis 5-4, Tennessee 5-5, Jacksonville 4-5. Jacksonville and I think Indy have the easier schedules than I think Jacksonville kind of has a little bit. No, Jacksonville's the easy one. I think Tennessee has a tougher schedule, and it's kind of the one thing that's tough for them. But Indy's point totals, I picked the wrong team. I picked Tennessee.
They look so ugly.
So their last three games, since they put 30 points on Houston, 15 against Denver, 24 against Pittsburgh, then 12 against Miami. And the Broncos have a top five defense this year, and 24 points against Pittsburgh's good. And they had Hoyer last week too. But yeah, they're just, their offense is, it's like really stagnant. And I think the problem is their rushing attack hasn't been that great. And they just don't seem like ready. Some of the, like, they game against Miami, they should have a better running game going.
Dude, they allow Fitzpatrick to get like a 30-yard run. What are you talking?
That was
my.
A nice run, though.
Don't give credit to that.
No, it was a nice run.
Oh, God.
Just because of the pump fake. That's what made the run.
It's so awful to watch. Whenever you see that, you're just like, dude, what? And he didn't even show, and that's at home.
Yeah.
And now everyone's like, you know what? You know who I think is getting better? Miami. No.
No.
No, Andy's just
so
that bad.
They're starting Fitzpatrick, too, because he's going to win 3 or 4 games.
I know. So you think Josh Rosen ever has a job again?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, if Fitzpatrick is looking like this,
I think he'll be a backup somewhere, and we'll see him 3 years from now.
I don't think he'd be a backup anywhere. Who wants that?
Some team will back him up.
That's not a backup.
Some team will let him
back up. If I'm putting him in, I'm going to lose. That's not a backup.
But it's an awful situation. Their offensive line's bad. Like, Fitzpatrick's been around forever. He's, like, always been.
So he knows how to, like, win with an
awful
team?
He's always been able to lead, like, the 25th best offense, you know? And Josh Rosen's been in two bad situations back-to-back.
Oh, I know. So I'm not defending the Indianapolis Colts losing to Miami.
Also, the other thing, too, if you're drafted high enough, you're always going to get a chance. Barkavius Mingo still has a job.
All right, so I'm going to ask you this. Just make me feel better. What's a worse loss? And I hate to jump here. Dallas Cowboys versus the Jets, Miami versus Indianapolis, or Atlanta Falcons versus the Saints?
Atlanta, New Orleans.
All right.
For sure.
Okay, cool. 100%. All right, man.
Because they put that on themselves.
All right. Nice. I'll take
also,
it.
The Falcons had 6 sacks. I think the most sacks in the game this year was like 1.
Their defense is not
2.
That good. That was weird. Yeah. I don't know what was going
again,
on.
Again, they're center.
No, what are you talking about? That's not what happened.
And Teddy Bridgewater wasn't starting. So the biggest thing about this game, though, is that he has risen. And by he, I mean Nick Foles. So I looked up the numbers from week 11 on for Nick Foles in the last 3 years. Completion percentage of 67.4%, 2,902 yards, 20 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. He's taking 11 sacks, 7 yards an attempt. But the biggest thing here is that he started 11 games. I'm not going to count that Dallas game week 17 because he only played like 2 series and they benched him.
Yeah,
and they lost 6-0. If you remove that game, though, he's 9-1 as a starter.
There it is.
From week 11 on. That one loss was to New Orleans last year in the divisional round when he threw that interception. That was really devastating. But he's risen. He's back. He's a starting quarterback this week. And the one thing that kind of interested me from a Jacksonville perspective is that their pass defense is good. Also, their linebackers are healthy this week. Leon Jacobs is back. Quincy Williams is back. They're not going to play Kalitro at all anymore. And the Colts have they're 6th in pass defense DVOA, but their corners haven't covered very well. And now you have Nick Foles, deep passing, DJ Chark, Keelan Cole, D.D. Westbrook's healthy again. And I think, like, I like Jacksonville in this game, and I like it because I like Foles coming in now, rising, and just, like, throwing deep sideline passes to Chark and those guys.
That's what I was going to say. So, magically, everybody is healthy at the exact same time. that Nick Foles is coming into
all
the game.
All of his receivers are healthy now.
Everybody is ready to go.
And their offensive line's healthy. I don't think they have any missing offensive stars except for Marquise Lee.
So.
Set the valves healthy this week.
And they're 4-5.
They're 4-5.
This is his time. I would be scared if I was a Texans fan. And I also believe that the Jacksonville Jaguars are just going to smoke the Indianapolis Colts.
Smoke them?
Smoke them. And it's just because it's the return. He's going to start out a little bit sluggish, and then he's going to get comfortable. And the moment he gets comfortable, they're screwed. And Indianapolis Colts, even though they're having Jacoby Brissett coming back, that's interesting that we're having the return of the QBs in this game.
Yeah, I'm glad Brissett's back. He's a great manager.
I know, but see, that's my opinion, that he is a great backup.
No, he's a starting quarterback.
I don't think he's a starting quarterback.
For sure. But he's a starting quarterback in the sense that he's not going to make a bunch of mistakes. He's going to throw 25 touchdowns over the course of 16 weeks, but he's going to throw 5 interceptions. He's going to have a lot of first downs. He can maneuver. He's not a backup. He's a starting quarterback, but he's not going to...
I don't want him as my starter.
He's not like the guy who you're going to pay $30 million. He's going to make the rest of your teammates better.
Oh, so what you're...
He's like a cheap quarterback that you can have.
So what you're saying, okay, to go off your point, I would buy him as this starting quarterback for the Bears last year if he was their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like...
That's what you want. But you have to have that type of team around him.
Yeah.
If you're going to win.
Or like the Texans in 2014 or 2015.
Yeah, yeah,
or 2016.
Exactly. Yeah. 2016.
That was name redacted.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But either way, whenever it comes to that, exactly right. He's just a guy that you have to have every single thing around him. Most likely a defense where you just need a quarterback that won't turn the ball over and that makes him off the field so that they can rest. And he's just able to kind of run the clock.
Yeah.
And even if they get a field goal, which, by the way,
and that's what they were doing.
Still?
Vinatieri. So
what happened last? I thought he was replaced. That was at a body match. No.
That extra point was it was the worst kick I've ever seen.
But even on the field goal before that, it looked the exact same way that the ball. It was so funky.
It looked like he kicked a beanbag.
Yeah.
It was weird. So Jacksonville, they have the 23rd type of schedule. And then... Houston has the 11th toughest schedule. Tennessee is the 5th toughest. And then Indy's at 14th. So the Jaguars have the easiest schedule in the AFC South from this point on. Their entire offense is healthy. And their defense is weird, too, where they traded Ramsey, but Herndon has been pretty good. Boye's healthy again. Their pass rush is really good. And their biggest problems are linebackers are bad. And they have some speed problems at the safety position. The Colts defense, I think it's better than numbers indicate. They were hurt to begin the year. Malik Hooker's back. But again, their biggest problem is that they can't cover very well. It's been kind of a down year for Pierre Desir and Kenny Moore. And Rocky Sins had speed problems too. So it's interesting. It's an interesting matchup. From a football fan perspective, I hate the Indianapolis Colts perspective. I'm glad that Brissett's healthy this week.
What is that supposed to mean?
I want to see the best game we can see.
So, everyone's healthy for you. So do you feel like this is going to be the best game? Even though, is T.Y. playing?
No.
So it's not going to be the best game then because you don't have your main weapon if you're Brissett.
It's completely different, though, between Hoyer and Brissett. I'd rather have Brissett than Hoyer and Hilton. To a million. 115 million. Paris Campbell,
I don't know what you're saying on that because I don't agree with that at all. Saying that both Hoyer and T.Y. are out. So my choice is that I can
have Brissett
or I can have Hoyer and T.Y.
Yeah.
I take Hoyer and T.Y.
Okay. That's fine.
I didn't have T.Y. last night or the last week.
No, you didn't. You had Zach Pascal, though.
So? That's not T.Y.
Yeah, but just watching the game is just, Hoyer's overthrowing this guy, and he's overthrowing this guy.
T.Y. can make anything happen.
Yeah. Not Hoyer. I watched DeAndre Hopkins get limited by him,
Well, that's different. DeAndre is easily top three. Just make an argument.
It's the same thing. So, for this game, I have... the Jaguars winning 24-21. Nick Foles is going to lead a game-tying drive, and then the Colts are going to come back. They're going to be down. Actually, that's not true. I don't know. I think Alvin Terry's going to miss a game-tying field goal.
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah.
I have the Jacksonville Jaguars, like I said. It's coming out party. I got 27. I got the Indianapolis Colts, 21.
Interesting. I'm excited for this game. Yeah. The AFC South is going to be fun. I do wish the Titans play an easier schedule, though.
the Titans are going to be the good team to watch because Tannehill's on a roll.
It's a tough schedule. God,
if they would have started him from the start, which is what I said to do, because Mariota is garbage.
Did you hear the schedule fast?
I think you told me last week. I think it's bad.
So they're on the bye right now.
It's scary.
Jacksonville at Indy, at Oakland, Houston, New Orleans, at Houston.
See, the first two are fine. After that is not fine. Because even once it gets Oakland, Oakland somehow is good.
Yeah, we talked about it.
They're good.
Yeah. We did a Texans Ravens preview. We talked about that. Oakland's good.
They're good.
Yeah, they're good. Their offense line's awesome.
Great. Whatever.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about Dallas, Detroit, and New England, Philadelphia.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And we're back. So the next game we're going to discuss are the Dallas Cowboys heading up to Motown, Motor City. Can you make a motorcycle noise?
Vroom, vroom.
To play the Detroit Lions. The Cowboys are 6.5-point favorites on the road. The Lions are 3-5-1 at the moment. Matthew Stafford has a broken bone in his back. He couldn't play last week. He can't play this week because he's a coward. He's afraid of the big stage. I bet that doesn't hurt that bad. Just a little broken bone in your back.
They say it's like the little tiny bones in your back that it's like the Romo.
Yeah, probably that little hook.
It's like the Tony Romo injury.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was really funny. Like, I know it wasn't funny he got hurt, but like that play was really funny.
No.
Because he takes off to run a preseason game and he's running so slow and he gets in the back, he goes, ah.
But that's exactly where if Matt Stafford were to get hit like that in the game, he's done.
Yeah.
So then you're ending up Romo. And by the way, you're not going to end up in the CBS booth next to him, I promise.
No. And it, also, he's still 30. Like, Matthew Stafford's still cool.
Yeah, he should sit out. He doesn't need to play against the Cowboys. It's fine. Let Driscoll start.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, cool.
And he doesn't need to play for a team that can't rush the passer, that can't run the football, where he has to do everything else on. And, like, Stafford's been phenomenal this year. No, I'm talking about, kind of. like Stafford this year in Detroit, like, he's been awesome this year. Like, he had, like, six incredible weeks. They lost close games. They lost really stupid games. But it's been great to watch, like, Bevell, like, really open up his ability to throw the ball downfield. Like, Galladay's that guy. Marvin Jones, that guy. Hawkinson's going to be really good, too, eventually. The offensive pieces are there. I just, like, their defense, their pass rush, their 26th in pressure rate. Trey Flowers, they gave him, you know, like, $20 million a year or whatever. He has 3 sacks, 7 quarterback hits, 22 pressures. All right, he has 5 sacks. Then Kennard is 4 sacks, 9 quarterback hits, 19 pressures. And then it's like nothing. Like, that's it. Kennard's like an outside linebacker who blitzes occasionally. They just don't have a pass rush at all here. And then they've covered well. Like, Justin Coleman's worked out really well. Slay's really good. Their secondary has been surprisingly good in Detroit. But it's just like everything else has just been kind of bad. And my favorite thing about Detroit, though, is that they have this defensive line that's Damon Harrison. It's A'shaun Robinson. It's that hand guy from Alabama as well, too. Like, they want to stop the run. They want to be big up front. They are allowing 4.6 yards a carry, which is 23rd. I believe they're 26th in run defense DVOA. So, like, this is how they come into the season. We're going to be tough. We're going to be strong up front. We're going to stop the run, and they can't do that all whatsoever. And it's just kind of like that dumb Matt Patricia sort of thing.
And that's what's kind of funny about how you're even going down the list where they do have talent even in the secondary, but yet they're not stopping anybody. And it seems like that even with Matthew Stafford, whenever he was healthy, the games always ended up being in a shootout. Even with the tie against Arizona, it was then the defense wanting to play safe, not want, oh, we're not going to give up the big play, but we're going to let you have
as well too.
And we're going to let you have everything. I don't know if this is coaching.
They would have played 21-3 that game.
Yeah, exactly. It was just, it's weird what's going on because they are losing games that they should be winning. And I just feel like they do have a better team than what's been showing out there. Maybe injuries is really why it's been derailed here at the end.
Not really, though. I mean, like, they don't.
That's why I'm giving them the end here.
I mean, they have Kerryon got hurt, but it's not that important. No. I just think they're just, like, a bad team. So, or, like, they're, like, a good bad team. It's kind of like we were talking about with Tampa last week. Like, they beat Arizona.
Okay, yeah, I'd say they're about the same as Tampa.
They won the good bad team award, but, like.
Tampa's just more fun.
Yeah. And it's, like, they beat Philly 27-24. And that was a game where they had a kick six.
Thank God.
And then they had a fumble recovery. Philadelphia fumbled the ball going into Detroit's end zone as well, too. They played that fumble palooza against Kansas City, where they forced like three or four fumbles just punching the ball out, which is a lot of fun. But since then, lost to Green Bay, lost to Minnesota, beat the New York Giants.
Hey.
Lost to Oakland, lost to Chicago. And they're just they're a bad team. They're like a good bad team.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, all those teams are pretty solid.
Yeah, and like also like being bad this year and drafting another wide receiver or drafting a pass rusher isn't the worst thing in the world for them as well, too.
It's true.
But they're better than I thought they were going to be. I was like, they're going to be a 4-win team, and they're not that low-level of talent. They're like a 6-win team, and they probably would maybe have been like – with Matthew Stafford, they're probably gonna be a 6-win team, and who knows? They probably won't reach that at this point now, though.
Yeah, and now jumping on the other side because I do want Driscoll to start, but also I hate the Dallas Cowboys. I am not a gigantic fan of them. I think they are just the most overrated pile of crap I've ever seen in my life.
What was your favorite thing about last week? Was it the Dalvin Cook screen passes that count for 88 of Kirk Cousins' 224 throwing yards, or was it Ezekiel Elliott first down? He had 13 carries for 35 yards on first down, averaged 2.69 yards a carry. Great stuff. You hear Dak Prescott on first down?
Yeah, give it to me, man, please.
All right, so again, remember, 2.65 yards a carry. You got it?
Yeah.
You see that number in your head?
Yeah, I got it.
And, all right, keep it there. Dak Prescott on first down, he was 9 of 13, 108 yards, one touchdown, 8.2 yards an attempt. He attempted 13 passes. But he has established the run, though, and make sure that's very important.
I'm so angry. Everything about everything with this team has made me just so angry. And by the way, everything that you just said, yeah, they're not my favorite things. My favorite thing out of the whole game was the back-to-back running play. Everything that the Minnesota Vikings did on offense, great, fine. You guys did wonderful. My defense sucks. I get it.
And like, I saw some stuff online. It's like, now is the time we're going to stop down Kirk Cousins. But he was bad. Like, he made one throw.
But it didn't matter.
That sideline throw to Diggs where he came back.
I was fine with it all because guess what? We were in position to win. We should have won. That's the type of game I exactly wanted against a decent team where we have the ball last, run the clock out, leave a minute on if anything, just run the offense. And instead, the coaching staff, I don't know who called the play. I don't know whose idea was it, but you gave the man the ball 20 times and he had 47 yards. Everybody says, oh, ha, 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 Minnesota's just trying to shut out Zeke because they know Dak can't beat them.
They played nickel.
If everybody knows, though, that they're just going to try to stop the run, and everybody in the media and the fans understand this, why don't the coaching staff understand this? Well, why am I giving the ball to Zeke when Dak, for once... Dak was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
He was incredible.
He was the greatest freaking thing I've ever seen.
Well, and the thing about that, too, it's like Minnesota wasn't selling out to stop the run. They were stopping it with two linebackers. Like, they were getting great penetration.
They have a good fat boy who can't make anybody else miss. He can't make anybody miss.
I think this is one thing Elliott's good at doing, though. He's good at wiggling.
Eating?
Well, he's good at wiggling.
He's good at eating.
He's good, like, against the line of scrimmage where there's a guy there and, like, ducking and kind of wiggling, like, burrowing and, getting really comfortable for two more yards.
His ass is too fat. There's no wiggling anymore. He gets stuck. And then he falls down.
No, like, the one thing he did a good job is, like, there's a defender in the hole.
He didn't do a good job on anything.
And he'd dip under and he kind of wiggle and get two more yards.
That's
me being very nice, though.
All I wanted was for him to just get the hell off the field during those plays and just have Dak behind center and let Dak do his thing. And also, during that last third down, I don't know whose idea was about the option. It's what Garrett said. All Dak had to do is run. Vikings went over to Zeke. They were going to just look at Zeke. All Dak had to do, and Dak would have gotten the 2 yards. It was so simple, and yet you took it out of his hands to just give it to Zeke. I get that we just paid him $50 million, but the guy that's playing the best is the one
you
that's
paid
not
him $50 million too.
Yeah, I paid him $50 million out of my own damn pocket. And you know what he's done with that? He's gotten more piercings.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm so done.
He wishes he was Alvin Kamara.
By the way, he's been outplayed by any running back, so it doesn't really matter. I am so tired of this. I have the best team in the league, in my opinion.
You
have
the best team.
Oh, shh.
You have a good team.
Shh.
You have the best team.
I have the best team.
No.
And I'm going to miss the playoffs.
Maybe. I mean, you have to beat the Eagles like week 16.
It's going to come down in week 16. Yeah. I hate this stupid.
Is it week 17?
So.
Oh,
no, it's week 16 or 15.
Oh, okay.
No, it's week 16.
Remember that week 17 when the Cowboys lost like 3
Yeah, I remember.
Championships.
Do we have Tennessee week 17?
Yeah.
Yeah, stop talking to me.
I can't wait to go. Hopefully we get to go.
I'm so angry, man. I am so livid.
You're shaking right now.
I am so angry by what I had to watch. It was everything I wanted. And then you do that?
The biggest problem I had with it was that what's the problem? What were the Vikings having problems doing this year? Covering on the outside. And Prescott in this game, 28-46, 391 yards. He was sacked once. His longest pass was 26 yards. He was some of those throws he made, it was like, oh, I was sweating. Like, I was, like, sweating through my pants into the chair. I was just amazed by some of the throws he made that game. But so the biggest problem is that you're trying to establish the run. You're like, okay, we have to set the tone. We have to do that. That same just nonsense. Whenever it's the matchup you have available to you, the best matchup you have is to go through the air, feed Amari Cooper, feed Gallup, move the ball through the air against a team that hasn't covered that well. That was really like the best part. The reason why the Vikings pass defense has been good is their pass rush. They had one sack this game. They really didn't have much of a rush. And when they did, Prescott was great escaping and making throws with pressure in front of his face. And they took the ball out of his hands on that, you know, really dumb possession to end it. But just like throughout the entire game, like Prescott should have thrown the ball, what, 55 times this game?
And he could do it.
Yeah, he could have.
He could have.
It was one of the best quarterback performances I've seen this year. It was awesome.
Like, it's so frustrating. You know why it's so bothering, though? You know what I hate to say? God, I hate to say this. It reminded me so much of the Romo Cowboys. Of just Romo doing everything, and then somehow just coming up short.
You just lose in some dumb way.
You just lose, and yet you have everything. It just reminded me so much of
that. That would hurt.
And I was just like, I can't keep doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just on repeat.
I think that's the worst feeling you could have.
And you know what the best thing about it is, Matt? What is the one thing that's always been there every single time?
Jason Garrett.
That's so bizarre how that works.
Jerry Jones.
And like what I said against the New York Jets, if he would have fired his ass after the Jets loss, we would be in such better position than what we are now. Because he should have fired him back then. He doesn't want to, and this is what's going to cost us. Like what I told you after that game. It's the exact same team. I hate this team.
You hate them?
I hate them.
Wow.
I'm a supporter.
I was surprised that Minnesota didn't get a better pass for that game. Like they pass blocked well on the outside.
But he was everything. He was my boy. He was exactly what he should have been, where I have always believed in him. And yet you just gave it to Fat Boy.
What was your favorite Prescott throw from that game?
Oh, so probably the touchdown with Amari, and only because I did not believe that he got both feet in. And he did. And what made it even better.
He made that same throw two plays earlier.
And that's what was better. Is the fact where, oh yeah, he's only like that because of Amari. It doesn't matter. The fact that he did it again means they obviously have that connection and they love each other. That's just impressive. That you have a quarterback and a receiver that just have that perfect timing.
Yeah.
Too bad I have a fat boy that's just eating in the background.
Yeah, well, he had to, I don't know, hang out in Mexico for a little bit.
God. Go get another piercing.
He made this like third and sixth throw where he read right to left.
Or the third and 14 throw.
I can't remember, but it was like the last read on the backside. And he just like put it like in between three guys. I'm like, wow. It was unbelievable. I really like Dak Prescott though. And
no, you don't.
And yeah, I do.
There's no hopping on this bandwagon. Get the hell off. This is a single driver car. Nobody
That's
is hopping
fine.
On this Fiat.
I'm not in the same car as you. I really like watching Dak Prescott. He was unbelievable game. Also, I like how well he understands the defense before the snap. Like, I like the audibles he calls. I think he really understands the game well, too. Yeah.
He's just getting better. You know who's not getting better? A fat boy who's just getting slower. Man, he didn't make one guy miss. He didn't make one guy miss. When he, and it's fine. It's like, oh, yeah, the offensive line's not blocking very well. Fine. But it's a single tackle. Make one guy miss.
One guy?
One guy. Give me one. Give me nothing. God.
So Dallas plays Detroit, then New England, then Buffalo. I can't wait to bet like what, $50 on that game with you.
Oh my God, we'll bet $100.
Then Chicago, then Los Angeles, then Philly, then Washington. So it's interesting. It's a tough schedule. Philly has an easier schedule from this point on, but I really do think it's just gonna come down to week 16. Like, you just have to be one game behind Philly by week 16.
Please stop talking to me. Okay, thanks.
No, I'm not gonna stop. I wanted to actually, so advanced rushing stats. Are you ready? Are you ready? How many, guess how many tackles broken Elliott was credited with. Oh, guess how many?
Give me.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. I'm going to say one.
One.
I'm in it. Okay.
Do you know how many yards he had before contact? 1.9. You know how many yards he had after contact? A half yard. Dalvin Cook, 2.2 yards before contact, a yard and a half after contact. He's currently like 4 broken tackles, but he just runs past guys that are following, trying to grab him. And he was amazing that game. I think Cook should be offensive player of the year instead of McCaffrey now.
Again, I have the highest paid running back, and yet he's been outplayed by all the top running backs.
Yeah. All right, so what's your pick for this game? The Cowboys are 6.5-point favorites.
God, I better see blood. I need Dallas 31, the Detroit Lions 15.
I'm going with the upset here.
No, you're not.
Nah, I'm not. I haven't watched Driscoll play yet. I kind of want to.
It was ugly.
Yeah. I'm going
to
catch
him. He just knows how to run. That's all he knows how to really do. Otherwise, he's throwing the ball behind.
What college did he go to?
Actually, yeah,
I wish Tyler Hammond was here.
No, it's not Maryland. That's Ty Johnson.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But I have Dallas 31-20.
Good.
Yeah. I hope Prescott throws like 400 yards and 4 touchdowns this game.
He's not. They're going to try to feed Fat Boy. And so? Fat Boy's going to have a big game. They're going to make a big deal about it. And I'm just going to say,
well, they're going to eat him against Buffalo. That's for sure.
Dude, I can't wait to bet $100 on Thanksgiving.
I don't think
you.
I can do 100.
We're doing 100. It's Thanksgiving.
Dude, that's like a Disney share. I can't bet 100.
Yeah, it's $100.
Maybe.
Guess you're not confident in Allen.
I just don't.
Guess he's not your boy.
I just don't want to spend $100.
It's $100.
Even if
you
I
could
win,
save
I
up now.
I have a hundred. Do I have a hundred? I don't know.
You can save up. You can do $50 for this paycheck, $50 for next paycheck.
I don't know. So the next game we have here: New England at Philadelphia. What is this, like Super Bowl 50 rematch? Last year's 51. Yeah, Super Bowl 50 rematch. The Patriots are 3.5-point favorites. They're going to Philadelphia. I don't understand either one of these teams. On one hand, you have New England, who had the best defense in football, but didn't play anybody at all. Like, the best offense they played was Buffalo, I guess. The best team they played was Buffalo up to that point. And Buffalo's like the best bad team who had the easiest schedule. They're like the Dolphins from 2 years ago who kind of made the playoffs. Except Josh Allen, you know, is beautiful and perfect and pure. But you're just like, let's see.
How is he pure?
He's like 23 and like he doesn't understand.
What does that mean, pure?
He has no idea about all the evil in the world that's out there.
What are you saying right now?
What do you mean? I mean, like, he has like a full heart. He doesn't understand all the bad things out there in the world yet.
Oh yeah? Is that what pure
like,
means?
Don't tell Josh Allen about Jeffrey Epstein. He doesn't know about it.
Do you think he's
a
virgin, Matt?
No, I don't think he's a virgin. he's too cool, dude. He's smoking cigarettes in the back of his tailgate.
Whatever, man. Yeah. You can't bet $100 on him though.
Maybe. We'll see. But so I was just like, I like everybody pretty much was, yeah, let's wait for New England to play somebody. They played somebody, played the Ravens. The Ravens kicked their teeth in. That game was a lot closer than it should have been because the Ravens had 2 fumbles in their own like red zone pretty much. A fumble on a punt return that was muffed, and then Mark Ingram fumble once as well too. And they had their own fumble return for a touchdown that kind of tilted things back than they should be. The one that really surprised me about that game though was how many short field goals Bill Belichick kicked. Like, he kicked 2 field goals less than 25 yards.
Why?
4th and 2 at the 2-yard line.
Yeah, but
you're down by seven going in the half.
Yeah, but Matt, their offense is so bad. What are you gonna have? What are you throwing to?
But the whole point is that
what are you throwing to?
The whole point is Baltimore is gonna score again.
I got you, but what am I throwing to?
Mohamed Sanu was pretty good last week.
I have Sanu.
Yeah,
that's what you're throwing at me.
Yeah, Sanu was good last week.
That's my numero uno here. Come on, that's the
point.
But
no, the point is that you're.
I'm not going to trust my offense.
No, the point is that you're at the 2 yard line.
I'm going to get points.
And you're down by seven, and you have to keep up with Baltimore. How many more chances are you going to have to score a touchdown?
You trust your defense because just like you even just stated, this is their first test. Bill, the cocky a-hole that he is like, my defense is going to stop them. Lamar's not going to get past me. You know it is. It's ego.
But no, but I'm saying it was a bad decision because, like you're saying, you have issues with skill positions. You have issues moving the football. Now you have a chance to score a touchdown. Who knows? You're going to get another chance to do that. Baltimore is going to get the chance later on. He kicked 2 short field goals. I was very surprised by
that. He's going to trust his defense every single day.
He should in games like that, though.
He's going to do it every single day of the week because what did he just win the Super Bowl by?
It was the wrong decision that time.
He just, because of the last year's Super Bowl, Bills believes that his thing is ginormous now. Because the ego is just incredible. He believes that Super Bowl that was won last year was him, not Brady.
Brady did the Peyton Manning thing where he made 2 throws that game. And that was all he needed to do. He needed to make 2 throws and he did that. It was like whenever...
You money that Bill in the back of his head said, I gave you this one.
I don't know.
I bet you money.
The point you were trying to make here is that those are 2 bad decisions. I think that was the main reason why they lost that game. But at the same time, like... they had problems with the Ravens' absurd rushing attack. The Ravens were able to run their little pick routes to create guys open. And they even just, like, ran the ball well, just, like you know, man-on-man, running outside zone and that sort of thing. So do you think the Patriots' defense is that good? Do you still think it's, like, the best defense in football, as all the numbers say?
No. Only because of the run game. They can't stop it. So now you've gone up against 2 pretty solid running backs or running games, and you just haven't been able to stop it. Even with Cleveland with Nick Chubb. Ran all over him. And then now you had what Baltimore did against him. I feel like they're a little bit wide open in that area, but I'm also not confident, maybe a little bit, that Doug Peterson would acknowledge it and then just give the ball out of Wentz's hand and put it in maybe Howard's. But
That's the idea here. Like, Wentz has been mediocre this year.
Oh, yeah, completely. And I feel like that even though Ertz has been so-so. He's going to have a big game against New England.
But it's not Ertz, though. It's Wentz. Like, he's force-feeding him. You hear the Wentz numbers or the Ertz numbers?
Yeah, but Wentz also has a lot of drops from the other receivers.
Yeah, but he's been targeted 75 times. He has 46 catches.
Ooh.
He's not dropping 39 passes.
That's not good.
You like that math?
That is good math. Yeah, I like that. That was quick.
I have a beautiful mind. So, also, okay. 7 yards a target, 527 yards. Like, 7 yards a target's awful. You want, like, 11 or so as a receiver. His DVOA is negative 3.2%. I think he's, like, 27th out of all tight ends. Or I'm just going to say anything, like, in the mid-20s or whatever, and it's going to be right. But, yeah, like, he's really inefficient, and it kind of goes back to what we talked about once before. It's, like, whenever he's uncomfortable, he just goes to Ertz and forces him and forces passes that aren't there. And I think like, there's a direct correlation with like, Ertz's targets and Wentz's performance, too.
So do you think that the bye week would help either one of these teams?
I think it typically does.
Who do you think would help more? Philly stands a chance with New England having a bye after a loss?
I think a lot of it has to do with guys being on rest. And like they got a lot of sleep. Their bodies don't have a chance to recover. I don't think it's more so like, oh, we know what we need to fix. I think it's like scheme adjustments more so than just like good rest.
I think New England's screwed this year. I have just a weird feeling that they're just screwed because
I think the Kansas City thing is what screwed them.
Why?
Because they're either going to play Kansas City or Houston the second round.
Well, I think even Houston would screw them.
I don't know because Houston
has more of the weapons where I don't think New England can put up points. That's my issue with them.
Yeah.
I don't think they can put up points. And if their defense can't stop the team, and again, this isn't actually a knock on Brady really because what does he have? Edelman's banged up, and you're saying that Mohamed Sanu is his best receiver.
He was good last week.
Mohamed Sanu shouldn't be your best receiver, though.
You know Brady's leading the league in intentional grounding penalties?
That's not surprising.
He's old.
I know he's old.
He's old. And the Ravens, like, they blitzed him pretty well, and they didn't create that much pressure, but just, like, Brady was on the ball. No, like, He was just holding onto the ball forever. Like, nobody was really breaking open.
Exactly.
I think really the biggest problem for the Patriots, though, is that for the last 3 years or so, their offense has been based on that power run scheme. It's Mike Devlin. It's a lot of power. It's a lot of counter. Marshall Newhouse is their left tackle. He's bad. Mike Devlin's out for the year, which is very sad. He's awesome to watch. And then, then Gronkowski retired, so they don't have that same level of blocking at the time position, too. And so they're not based around the scheme that's been carrying them. Like, I understand that it's Brady and, you know, whatever, and they have a top five passing offense efficiency-wise, but they were actually one of those teams that was running to throw the ball in a way, or that was what controlled them most of the times, and Brady kind of filled in the gaps from there and threw the touchdown passes and the critical situations he came through. But the majority of the game was a lot of power running, though, and their rushing attack is mediocre this year instead of being like a top 10, top 5 one in the previous years when they were, you know, dominating teams. And they were this year, but again, they have the easiest schedule in football this year.
And that's the issue with this team, is that you don't really know how good they are until they're playing good teams. And the one real good team they played against, they were smoked.
Well, so they play this game. They play Houston 2 weeks.
But do you think Philly's that good of a team?
I think Philly's just like, they're just strange.
After what the Dallas Cowboys did to them, is
talent
so
wise, I think talent-wise, Philly's good. I think the biggest problem they've had, though, is that they paid Ertz. And Ertz has been mediocre, and he's even better than that.
What did they pay him?
They gave him the big contract, so he makes like 25 or whatever a year.
Oh, God.
And then they were also banking on DeSean Jackson to take plays over the top.
Which that just
sucks. And he's out for the year. And Nelson Aguilar needed to be that guy, and he hasn't been that guy at all.
He can't catch a pass because he shouldn't have ate that popcorn.
Hey, it's good popcorn, though. Have you ever seen popcorn be like, I'm just not going to eat this popcorn?
Yeah, and then I usually grab a handful.
You always
anyways.
Eat the popcorn anyways.
I'll usually grab a handful.
So don't blame Nelson. But yeah, they play Philly, Dallas. They play Philly, Dallas, Houston, KC, and they finish off with Cincy, Buffalo, Miami. So they have a tough stretch run. They're
Cincy's
still probably going to be
them.
The second seed. But I mean, what screws them is that they won't have the one seed. They'll have to play either Kansas City or a better Houston team that actually has Deshaun Watson, unlike the previous iterations they've beat. But at the same time, Bill O'Brien's, I think, 0-5 against Belichick. Like, he's never even, I think, like, the average loss is 13 points against him. Like, Jacoby Brissett on 3 days, like, 3 days he had to prepare Brissett to start, beat the Texans by 17 points on Thursday Night Football. And so, like, and so
you know
Houston.
Bill's strategy should be, hey, Deshaun, we have no game plan. Just go out there. Run 2 minute offense. Have fun.
Because
Bill wouldn't expect it. Bill would go crazy, be like, what the hell's going on?
I don't know.
What are they doing? I've never seen this play before. What's going on?
Maybe. I don't know. But it's for sure be better than what they've done before in those situations.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, I don't know. But like, they're actually, the best thing about this year, though, is that the Patriots have to play a tough second round game. They're not going to get Marcus Mariota in the second round this time.
They'll get Ryan Tannehill.
You think so?
Whoa, look at you worry. You're like now thinking about it.
I don't know. I just don't want that to happen.
Why?
They would destroy Ryan Tannehill.
Are you sure about that?
They beat
Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill are the ultimate combo.
Maybe.
Marcus Mariota sucks.
Hey, be nice to him.
Such trash. Go surf, surfer boy.
So the last thing I want to bring up was, so New England
Johnny Tsunami.
New England has the best pass defense this year. Pass defense on, or their defense on third and fourth down, they have a DVOA of negative 82.4%. Teams are converting 20.8% of the time on third down, or third or fourth down, which is first. And San Francisco is second at 27.7%. Wentz on third down, 51.7%. I don't know if it means anything at all for this game. I just like those numbers.
What the
it's just fun. Like, Wentz has been one of the best quarterbacks on third down. This is the best third down defense by far. The Patriots cover really well. Their pass rush is good, but it comes from a wide variety of sources. And like, I really think the key to this game for Philly, it's like, let Brandon Brooks and Jason Kelsey. And then Lane Johnson, let them do their thing. Let Howard get vertical. And their run offense has been so much better once it's been more vertical. They've gotten rid of all like the outside zone, a lot of the stretch plays. It's a lot more inside zone and power, and it's been a lot better too. And so I think that's the key to this game from Philly's perspective.
Yeah, Tom Brady's overrated. Philly's going to destroy them. Philly's just going to own them so bad.
Nobody believes in us.
I honestly need like New England to destroy this team. I just need the Eagles to lose so freaking bad,
because I can't trust my god awful team.
Yeah,
I just I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking selfish.
You just need to be one game behind them, is all.
I know I don't need to be behind at all.
Just one game behind is all you
need. I never want to be behind. I always want to be in front.
Okay. The last thing I think is interesting about this game too. So Philly deep middle pass attempts. They have a DVOA of 99.4%, which is very bad. They've had cover like a lot of those deep passes that you know Darby gave up. It's a lot of stuff that goes down the sideline that breaks towards the center. In like cover four, the sort of the coverages. Brady on deep middle passes, 10 of 18, which is fourth in attempts and completions, 294 yards, but zero touchdowns and two interceptions. He threw one at Earl Thomas last week too. And like, that's the only downside I see for Philly here is that Brady's not going to throw deep down the sideline. Those are farther throws, but he'll throw deep down the center of the field because those are shorter throws, you know? It's closer straight ahead of you than, you know, at an angle away from you like that. So I don't know. I think those are two things to really kind of pay attention to is Philly's third down offense, their rushing attack. And if they get vertical Jordan Howard and if Brady can hit some deep middle throws to Sanu or Philip Dorsett, even, I don't know. They don't have very much here.
No, they're not going to do anything like that. Philly's not going to stand a chance. By the way, do you know how ridiculous Philly is? So I made a bet with somebody and he made a bet with me saying, who's going to win the division? Eagles fan versus Cowboys fan, obviously. So he also bet me that Wentz would win MVP at the beginning of the season. So I told him what the bet was to remind him. And he said, yeah, I know, Lamar Jackson's going to get hurt. And I was like, yeah, but then it's Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, he's going to get hurt too.
No,
but
you just like so one of four other quarterbacks.
That's what a Philly fan believes, is that everybody is going to get hurt in front of Wentz for him to win MVP. That's how Philly fans think. I just wanted to throw that out there as just an example of what you have to deal with.
15 other quarterbacks have to get hurt, and then like six other running backs.
I was dying. I couldn't believe that. He's going to get hurt.
That's good.
Okay, what about Russell Wilson, though? He's leading the race. He's going to get hurt.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Well, maybe he knows.
Love Philly fans.
The apocalypse is coming.
He has button at Buffalo Wild Wings.
So the Patriots on the road are 3.5-point favorites. What do you got here?
All right. So the reason why I'm also this confident is because they lost last week or 2 weeks ago. So New England 33, Philadelphia 23.
It's a big bet there.
I got a good one here.
It's a big one. I got the opposite. I got Philly.
What?
24.
Huh?
The Patriots. 20.
You rat bastard.
I got it.
God. What?
Just watch.
I can't watch. I can't have this. You understand? No matter what, I
this
can't
be
believe what you're believing.
For you.
Yeah, it really would be.
It would be.
Like, this would be, this would hurt. Because if they were to win and we were to lose, I'd pretty much give up. I don't know what else I could do.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't.
You should. You should give up. Man, you know what?
No, I feel all right.
F you,
man. All right, so recap. Houston, Baltimore, Ravens are 4-point favorites at home. I have Baltimore 30-26. You have Baltimore 38-25.
Sorry.
You don't need to be sorry.
I'm sorry.
Jacksonville
at Indy. I'm a better
fan
than you.
4-5 Jacksonville at 5-4 Indy. The Colts are 2.5-point favorites. I have Jacksonville 24-21. You have Jacksonville 27-21. He has risen. Dallas at Detroit. Dallas 6.5-point road favorites against Driscoll instead of Matthew Stafford. I have Dallas 31-20. You have Dallas 31-15. And to top it off, Sunday 3:05. Yeah, 3:05. New England at Philly. The Patriots are 3.5-point favorites. I have Philly 24-20. You have New England 33-23.
I can't believe you. I'm so angry with you right now. You picked Philly to beat New England?
It's a feeling. I felt the feeling.
Oh, your feeling's wrong. You got to poop? Why don't you go poop?
No, I got poop. I pooped like 4 days ago. I'm going to go.
That's good. Yeah, it's healthy.
I'm an anaconda.
Healthy bowel movements over there.
Yeah, I'm an anaconda, man.
Yeah, you should probably eat some grain.
No, it's bad for you.
That's not bad for you.
Yeah, grain's bad for you.
No, it's not.
So, that's our show for tonight. We'll try to do a Texans Ravens podcast on Sunday night. We're going to have a special bonus episode next week sometime, or maybe next weekend sometime. We'll see. And also the Texans play next Thursday against the Colts. So they had to play this game against Baltimore, then 3 days later turn around and play the Colts, which is very tough to do. poor guys. Poor guys out there. But anyways, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Bell Rip Radio. And thank you for being on tonight, Taylor.
I need to go watch some gargoyles.